May the words that I say be in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. With the birth of the Christ child, God enters into human history in a way that no longer can be described as interventionist, interfering, or controlling. God comes alive among us as one of us to reveal the full potential of human life in discovering its ability to become like God. The Christ child is Emmanuel, God with us, according to St. Matthew's Gospel story. According to Luke's Gospel story that we've just heard, he is Savior, the meaning of his name, Jesus, the one who will redeem, restore, and heal. Luke, the Gospel writer, is keen to provide us with an historical framework for this unique, extraordinary realization. So we are told about the Emperor Caesar Augustus and his census, and who the provincial Roman governor was at the time. And then, having mentioned these illustrious personages, we are launched de haut en bas into the story of Joseph and Mary. It's a frequent theme in Luke's Gospel. The high and mighty are contrasted with the humble and meek. That is, the ordinary, workaday people who have no real position of power or influence in the things of this world, but who seem to sense that life without an awareness of the presence and working of God in their lives is no life at all. And so the announcement of the Saviour's birth is not made in the royal courts of Rome or in the provincial governor's palace, let alone to the high priests in the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. It is to working shepherds who have not bothered with the restrictions that the census ought to have placed upon them, each to return to the town of their tribal ancestry. To them, heaven is opened and revealed, and the good news announced. The Messiah, the longed-for Savior, has been born in a cattle shed, and you will find him lying in a feeding trough. God in a trough. It's quite a task to try and translate what that means for us today, some 2,000 years on, in such a different culture, and with such different expectations in life, with such a greater emphasis upon the needs of the individual, rather than a sense of belonging to a nation, a people, a tribe, or an extended family. But it seems to me one could begin to understand the message of the gospel of Christ's birth and what it means for us now in this way. It is the answer to the question that we all of us ask of someone in our lives. Do you love me? The world, life, our experience of human life and history can be very bruising. We are right to be chary of political claims for human salvation, especially on the economic front. And we're right to be skeptical of any religious claims that offer simplistic solutions to the human condition, the Bible says, and so on. So, does God, if he exists, really care about us? Goodness knows we recognize clearly enough our need to be loved. We all search for affirmation, for a sense of being valued and given worth and dignity. We tend to surround ourselves in a protective manner with little bits of authority and power which we love to exercise and believe we can find reality in that. But underneath it all, the real search and longing is for a sense of being loved, welcomed and received just as we are, not for our position, not for our job, or what influence we believe we may have. Am I loved for me as I am, warts and all? Do I matter, a speck of dust in the stardust of humanity? Does God, if he exists, really, really care about me? Yes. Yes, God does, because God is. God cares. God loves. The trouble is that our language of understanding is still so vertical. We talk of God coming down to us from on high. In our desperate human need, we lift up our hands, and yet we are powerless to pull God down to us. The truth is, God reaches out in a baby's hand to pull down human compassion upon his cradle. God comes down to us. Actually, God draws us down to himself, to that deep place within the foundation and wellspring of our own being. He is born for us, we say. Actually, he is born in us. When we realize that God is not some super daddy who will put a sticking plaster on the scratches we pick up in this life, but God will help us to grow up and mature in our self-understanding, because fundamentally we know we are loved, valued, and affirmed for who we are, unique creatures of God's creation. To help us realize that deep within the mystery and meaning of this universe, we each have a purpose and are uniquely loved and valued, is why God was born for us and is born in us. That is salvation. The recognition that the life lived in Jesus Christ is a journey of discovery towards our ultimate healing of our heart and our mind, of our body and our spirit. And that is not some selfish, individualistic aspiration. Christ in us is so that we might become more like him who gives himself away for others. Like him, we are called to give ourselves away for others to help them realize that God loves them for who they really are. And we do not do that in our positions of power, but in our acceptance of our weakness and vulnerability, which God can use to draw down more human compassion upon his cradle, so that there we find the heart of our humanity and the depth of our divinity. May you discover the Christ child of God's presence within. He is born for you. He is born in you, if you will but look and see. For he loves you.